We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. We're going to play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Bump up the volume. It's time to play ball.
President's Day, happy Monday. Welcome to Joe, Lo, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It is great to have you with us today. Mark it down right now in a half hour. The number two overall pick in the 2018 Major League Baseball draft, Joey Bart, San Francisco Giants catcher, is going to join us live from Arizona. Joey Bart at 6:30. John Heyman, MLB Insider, at 8:30 to talk about the latest regarding Bryce Harper. Sam Amick at 9:35. We got the team back together. Dibs is back from vacation. Dibs, great to see you.
Yeah, how was good your to weekend? See you guys. It was nice. Not quite the golfing staycation I was looking for with this Stormageddon going on out there. Freezing, cold, rain. But I did get some sleep, which is always nice.
I don't know if I'd say freezing. You know, it was brisk. It was
freezing. California freezing. I'm not from the East Coast like you, and I wasn't raised on a farm where life was tough. I grew up in Marin. Things are pretty soft. If it gets below 45 degrees, it's freezing.
Did you see it snowing in Vegas? It snowed in Vegas, I believe, once in like a 25-year stretch, like where legitimate snow came down and touched the ground and then would quickly melt. It snowed twice in Vegas over the last 10 days.
Wow.
So, times crazy. They are changing.
Yeah, they are. You saw even San Francisco on Friday. It was hailing, ice. I mean, it was crazy Friday.
You have to drive through that on the way home?
Yeah, I was scared, Joe. Big diesel would shake a little bit. Every now and then, you get a little bump. You feel a car, a little whip. You got to stay. A lot of wrecks out there, Joe, especially that ice out there. But that old diesel said, let's go, Daddy. Hush, hog, I hear bear. And we made it on down the LI-5 all the way into Fresno.
Speaking of wrecks, a round of applause for me, please. I watched every minute of the Daytona 500 yesterday. Not really a racing fan.
Not every minute.
Every single minute, with the exception of maybe running to the restroom
really quick. Okay.
That's
flag to flag coverage.
Yeah, flag to flag coverage. Yesterday, we had the kids out in the morning to get them outside because, you know, the weather's been shaky. So we had them out. They go down for a nap right as when Daytona's starting. And every year I pop in for a few minutes, sample it a little bit, and then move on with my day. So started watching it, but the kids are down, and yesterday was a big day. Ngannou versus Velasquez last night, the NBA All-Star game. There was so much to watch. So had it on, was doing a bunch of baseball research, getting set for the season, and eventually realized I was in stage three, which I didn't realize they did that now. Stage one winner. I figured there'd be a little more fanfare if you're going to have a winner, but there wasn't.
Right.
But we got to stage three, and I figured I'm pot committed. So I saw that sucker all the way out.
You're getting old.
Leading me to believe NASCAR should really only just be 10-lap races. Because once you get to the final 10 laps, then everyone starts wrecking, and it becomes really intense. So what are you doing for all the laps prior to that? Jockeying for position? Stop wasting the fuel. Stop polluting the ozone. That's why it's so damn cold these last few days.
Amen, brother.
NASCAR should just move to 10-lap races.
Cut to the chase.
Yeah.
Instead of a chase for the cup, it's called cut to the chase. NASCAR's new slogan. We're going to cut to the chase. The 10-lapper, rev it up, and let's just get after
That's it. Save the fuel. Save the tires. You don't even need a pit crew.
Nice.
You just start the race, and then you end it a few minutes later, and then you're done.
Saving all that manpower.
Later today.
Yeah.
I just figured I'd open today solving NASCAR.
You went even a little country there. Say to, as you said?
Yeah.
Say the tires. I like that, Joe.
Save the tires.
Say the tires.
Rubbin's racing, baby. Put them in a wall. Wreck them. I was saying that all day yesterday. Just I took all
you.
My wife
Good
was so annoyed.
Good for you.
It was just the three or four standard NASCAR lines.
Right.
I know I was just saying them all day, just constantly talking about how everyone's trying to avoid the big one. And then when it happened, I was just overwhelmed with joy that these cars had wrecked.
The 21 car crash.
Yeah, I was saying things like that. Really like what the 17 car is doing here. Didn't even know if there's a 17 car running. Was just really, really enjoying myself. Let's actually begin today's conversation right here.
Russell with the cross court. Oh, Curry running two by his teammates. For three and one.
Shout out TNT for the audio. Team LeBron 178, Team Giannis 164 in yesterday's NBA All-Star game. Kevin Durant named the MVP of the game. We'll get into all that, but that highlight right there, Steph Curry knocking down a 3-1 in the face of Klay Thompson. Klay knows how it feels now.
Yeah, it's so great too, because Steph gave him just a tiny little bit of a wiggle and got just enough space, and you could see it in Klay's face that right. he wanted to close out on that right. so bad, and then he ends up kind of staggering into him, right. and Steph just sticks it right in his eye.
And then he gave him the hands up.
And he gave him the hands too.
That's why you're on my team, homie.
That's
how about
right.
that? That's why I'm Steph. Gave him the little double barrel shot, you know, pointing at him like, I just got you, brother, got you. And then, but the one that he did to Giannis, that bounce pass, I mean, the bounce was, I mean, it was insane.
Check your show sheet, take your time. We're getting to all that. We're just easing into the pool, easing. He even
right
looked at, yeah, it's right there.
All-Star game recap. KD wins MVP, Steph versus Klay, and then we'll get to the dunk.
I'm just looking at the highlights. I see Dirk. Dirk had a nice 3-2. It's on right.
Do
Dirk
I need to change the channel?
No.
White hot Dirk, when he came in yesterday. Oh. He was white hot. He and Wade didn't even get in. It was a commissioner's exempt thing. I'm all for that because both guys played great. It was great to see them out there yesterday. You can comment on that.
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely great. I didn't really watch. I'm just watching these little friggin' Dirk from, like, way beyond the arch. Just nothing but draws.
Yeah. Yeah, he was white hot.
White.
We've covered that. And that's actually not on the show sheet until much later.
That one's at 10:05.
I think that is just another example of why the NBA All-Star game is by far the best of the bunch. Because
no, it's an example of why you took off for 2 days, because of things like this. That's why you took off.
Well, I need to get more control of the television here to get low focused again. Maybe put up that Bewitched show or whatever it is.
Guys, forget about all that. Let's jump right into content. You know what? Let's play the two because I want to ask you a serious question based on this. Give me the alley-oop, Steph to Giannis.
Here's Curry with a high bounce. Oh, Giannis slipping.
All right. Easy, Reggie
Not
Miller
a Reggie Miller
and Chris
in
Weber.
There.
Easy, Reggie Miller and Chris Weber.
They were more excited than me, Joe.
Well, now give me, no doubt. Now give me Wardell to end the game.
So Team LeBron will make it two straight victory. Oh, Curry.
All audio courtesy of TNT, which was better? Everyone is so focused on the oop to Giannis. I thought Steph's self alley-oop to end the game was actually better. I mean, ideally, what did Giannis do on the alley-oop? He went up and he grabbed a perfectly placed ball, and then he just kind of pressed down through the rim. Incredible feat that he could get up that high, but it was a perfect pass from Steph. Later in the game, Steph gives himself a perfect pass, and then the reverse throwdown? That's what God prevented him from doing when he slipped on the court a few weeks ago.
Oh,
he
God.
Even said that after the game. Which did you like more?
I think it's got to be Steph with the alley-hoop to himself there. The little bounce and get it up the rim and go ahead and throw it down. I think that has to be more because Steph, you never see him do it. So you have to like that more.
To me, it was the bounce pass, and it's primarily because of Kevin Durant's involvement in that. When you watch it, you see Steph bounce it, and you see KD's eyes get big, like, I'm going to go up and snatch this. And for the brief moment, he starts to leave his feet, and then he realizes, not only am I not getting this, but there's bad things that are about to happen behind me. So KD makes a business decision wisely, and you don't realize that that ball goes about 18 feet up, and by the time Giannis gets it, he's got to be up about 13 feet. So
you think Steph would ever do that in a game? You think that guy have a bounce pass in a game?
Which one, the bounce pass?
Yeah.
Who's going to go up and get it, though? I mean, Durant's an option. Jordan Bell, if he's in the game, might be an option. You're probably not doing that to Klay, right? I mean,
No,
Giannis was throwing down yesterday. I mean, he makes it look way too easy when he gets near the rim, right? I mean, who else on the Warriors could he do that to?
No one. But yeah, you're right. So you won't see that because that bounce pass was freaking unreal. And Giannis went
perfectly
up.
Perfectly placed. That may have gone in on its own. That may have been a beer pong shot.
Yeah, but Giannis was like, I think he was like 14 feet. I mean, the numbers that they put up there, he was like, because it was like crazy how high he got up. It was sick.
By the way, and, you know, just a little side note to mention for yesterday's game, Curry really had no problem just putting up as many shots as humanly possible in that game. When it was all said and done, he and Giannis tied for most shots in the game at 23. He also got most minutes at 29. So the hometown hero didn't necessarily catch fire yesterday. got to mention it, but he was a part of the two biggest highlights of yesterday's game. You enjoyed the game, did you?
I love the game. And 6 for 23 will not be remembered as much as his own self-reverse dunk and the bounce pass to Giannis and the four-point play on Clay. And that, to me, is what the NBA All-Star Game is about, and it's what they do so well. The Dirk and the Dwayne Wade, go ahead and let those guys come in, get your moments, and then step out. The game becomes a little competitive late. To me, it's the best All-Star Game by far.
Do you enjoy the NBA All-Star Game more than Major League Baseball's All-Star Game? That plus your MVP plus some very interesting comments made by Dwayne Wade after yesterday's performance. It's Joe Lo and Dibs back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Great to have you with us today on this President's Day. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Giants catcher and number two overall pick of the 2018 Major League Baseball draft, Joey Barr, set to join us from Arizona in about 13 minutes at 6:30. Topic of conversation right now is as follows. Team LeBron, 178. Team Giannis, 164 in Sunday afternoon's NBA All-Star Game. Team LeBron overcame a 20-point deficit after allowing 95 points in the first half. They got together at halftime. LeBron talked to Coach Malone from the Denver Nuggets and said, hey, would it be okay if we went outside the locker room to watch J. Cole perform the halftime show? Malone said, sure, but we're going to need to play more transition defense. Mostly just kidding around a little bit. It's an exhibition, but he did let him know, look, there is a record for points given up in the NBA All-Star Game. I think it's like 194. He's like, we're trending dangerously towards that. So go watch the show, but just get the message out there. Came out in the second half, only allowed 69 total points, ended up winning that game by 14. Oh, by the way, converted 35 three-pointers, which was an All-Star Game record. Based on game flow, all that stuff, you enjoyed that yesterday. Do you like the way they go about it? Because I think it's going to be extraordinarily difficult to create a scenario where this is a highly competitive game. Maybe if you put $10 million on the line for each individual winner, sure, they'll go out and play competitive. But the last thing you want is an injury. So have some fun, take it easy, and then maybe in the final 12 minutes play a little D, give people some excitement, we all move on. Yeah. I don't see anything wrong with it.
I don't either, and I think from highly competitive, what you get is slightly competitive, because there are times where they're competing. And early on, it's like a layup line, it's lobs, it's dunks, and they even were talking about, I was watching the players-only broadcast, and they were saying early on how, oh, it's more dunks than I ever remember seeing. And then gradually that slows down. A lot of guys just jacking up the quick three. And then as you get to the third and the fourth quarter, you're not running plays or sets, but guys are actually hinting at possible defense. You're not just going to let a guy drive straight down the key anymore in the fourth quarter. So I like the format. I like the fact that usually the team that's down will make a push and come back. And then final 6 minutes, it's kind of looks like a basketball game. It's not that competitive. And you're right, Joe. You don't want to see somebody take a charge and get hit, get a concussion or worse. It's an exhibition, and they treat it as such.
I think the biggest thing, too, like you said, Dibs, it's exhibition, but it's more exciting than football and baseball because it's still energy. It's still these guys are still able to shoot the threes. You saw Clay foul Steph and one, but the way in which he shoots the ball, I don't care. If there's no one on him, everyone would show up just to watch Steph shoot the ball. I mean, you see the stadiums are full because of the fact he's going to warm up and shoot threes that people haven't even seen, so kids and everyone want to be there at the stadium. So without a doubt, even though the game is not intense, not the hard fouls, but Giannis, that bounce pass, how high it went, almost touched the freaking the rafters, and Giannis goes up and gets it and throws it down. You even asked the question, Steph couldn't do it here because no one can get up that high on this team. So we got to see superstars perform at a very, very high level, so the excitement was there, all the alley-oops. I mean, hell, LeBron's team, they shot 93s. Didn't make them all, but, I mean, so it's exciting. So those type of things, people don't care about the necessarily defense. Baseball, it's so slow, it's different, so All-Star is not going to get that type of appeal. Football, it's still hitting, it's still contact. You can't just go crazy and light it up like that. Basketball is exciting, it's moving. I think it's the best sport as far as All-Star.
One thing about this, whatever you're great at, they're going to facilitate a way in which you can showboat that. Like, if you're a dunker, if you're a power player with crazy athleticism like Giannis, you're going to have the opportunity to show people that. If you're a three-point specialist like Harden or Steph Curry, you're going to have the opportunity to get them up. And then, of course, after I try to do a 180 and start appreciating him more, there's Russell Westbrook, who's a terrible three-point shooter, yet he's jacking up threes the entire game. He was 1-for-8 from deep. And when he shoots a three, he doesn't even make it look good. I mean, he bricks it. He clanks it. It is nowhere within the realm of possible. And yet, for some reason, he's out there just jacking up threes left and right. That's not his game.
No, I mean, it's not really, the game is not conducive to his game, which is ball dominance and attack the rim. And you look at players like LaMarcus Aldridge and Karl-Anthony Towns, they're more grinders and mid-range guys. Nobody wants to see you throw it to LMA and watch him pound the ball, and then step back from 18 feet and go glass. You just don't want to see that in this game.
Rip City, baby. That's what he should have had a shirt that said, Rip City, let it rip, because he shot 1-for-8. I thought.
Speaking of which, Dame Lillard, shout out Oakland Zone. He had a big third quarter.
And I thought he was going to be the MVP because, as you know, Lo, when he came in and he started ripping the nets, that's when Team LeBron came back.
Yeah, he started lighting it up. I thought PG had a freaking phenomenal 360, that little slam he did, the little 360 Fresno State's finest.
He played about 270.
He was really good in that game.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was great.
Not the full 360, you're saying.
Well, he starts the turn before he leaves the ground.
Throw the flag.
You know what? No, you're the geometry expert on this program. You should know the difference between a 360 and a 270.
There's a solid radii as I was watching him around the astral.
Well played, Joe.
Was that needed this early in the morning?
We're talking geometry.
Oh, my God. I didn't start geometry, Dibs. The guy, it was pretty amazing to watch Paul George get up. Do whatever you want to call it.
270. It was impressive.
Oh, nice 270.
Thank you.
It was a dope 270. No grab or anything to fakey.
I'm done. If you're going to start this on your way back, we're having a good conversation. This is what you're going to do to Fresno.
You were done before you even started.
Kevin Durant scored 31 points on 10 Amazing. Of 15 shooting, 6 of 9 from deep. He grabbed 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. He was your NBA All-Star Game MVP. That's the second of his career. In 2012, he won the All-Star Game MVP as well. Durant now, for his career, has a regular season MVP award, 2 NBA Finals MVP awards, and 2 All-Star Game MVP awards. 5 other individuals have pulled that off. Does anyone know who those 5 are? Let's take some guesses and see how close we can get.
Michael Jordan.
So you've got 2 finals MVPs, 2 All-Star Game MVPs, 1 regular season MVP. That's the criteria, at least those. You said Michael Jordan. Correct if we have a dinger.
We do.
He chooses the GOAT, and the GOAT is...
You gotta go with
it's
a GOAT.
It's a great call.
Kobe!
Great call.
Kobe!
Ding it.
Kobe Bryant!
Dang it.
Who went to like 18 All-Star games?
Exactly. Keep going. You're the hot hand.
Okay, that's 2. There's 3 more. 2
KD.
All-Star game MVPs.
KD.
Yeah, we already said that. There are 5 others. Now, look, you don't have to go way back in time for this. It's not like the guys were in the 50s and the early 60s.
How about L to the J? LB, baby. Because if I would have went straight there, all you guys, swing hard, swing low, sweet chariot.
All right, so you've guessed Kobe, MJ, and LeBron. All 3 are correct. There are 2 more that joined Kevin Durant.
I'm
2
done,
finals
Vince.
MVPs.
Let me see you take
no,
over.
No, you got to keep going. You're perfect.
You're rolling right
why
now.
Why would you want to stop?
Jeez.
It's like he. No, thanks. Don't want the heat check. No, thanks.
The heat check. You want the heat check?
Yeah, it's a heat check
take
shot.
The
put another
heat
one
check.
Up.
Okay, I will. I'm going to put another one up. I'm just going to go with my man. You know it. Everyone loves him. What he does and what he brought, he was friggin' unbelievable. You gotta love the guy. You gotta love him.
Magic Johnson is who he's talking about.
Magic, the Magic Man.
Dang it. One more. An MVP in the regular season. 2 finals MVPs and 2 All-Star MVPs.
This is big for you, bro.
Should be incredible if you somehow got this right.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Dang it.
Dang it. Line because I saw him looking down. Congratulations to the text line and Lorenzo.
No, ask Steven. Ask Kobe. I mean, ask. Is my text line open?
No text line open.
It's not even open, Joe.
Turns out I wasn't asking either of you. Neither. Didn't ask.
But Joe, you
really didn't get that from the text line?
You can look up. True friend.
Well, I saw you looking down at the screen, so what am I supposed to think there?
Sometimes
great job.
When you put your head down,
I
you bow. Maybe I was praying, Joe.
But you got to close your eyes when you pray.
No, you don't.
You didn't close your eyes.
You don't got to close. You got to keep your eyes open.
So you have to bow the head, but you don't have to close the eyes.
No.
And why do you got to clasp your hands in front of you like that? It seems counterintuitive.
Humility.
To me. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
That's something you should have been able to get.
But the text line was not open. True friend.
I retract.
Okay.
I'm sorry for the allegation.
Now,
I saw you look down, and I was like, there's no way he gets it. And when you nailed it 5 for 5, that was really impressive.
Now, I will admit,
yeah,
the one that Dibs got me was magic.
He was stalling, and I was ready to finish his sentence for him.
That's okay.
I was thinking about
teamwork.
Him.
Teamwork.
Okay.
Teamwork.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
People helping people.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's what we do in this program.
Yeah. All right. We're going to go to Arizona next live. Joey Bart, San Francisco Giants catcher, will join us.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Happy President's Day. It's your boys, Joe Lowendibs, here on 95.7 The Game. Here is how it's going to shake down today. John Heyman, MLB insider for the MLB Network, is going to join us in a couple hours at 8:30 to talk about the latest surrounding Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. But right now, we are very happy to go to the phones to Scottsdale, Arizona. He is the number 2 overall pick from the 2018 Major League Baseball draft. San Francisco Giants catcher, ladies and gentlemen, Joey Bart joining Joe Lowendibs on 95.7 The Game. Joey, good morning. Thanks for coming on the show. How's Scottsdale treating you?
Good morning. Scottsdale's treating me well, except this morning I think it's rainy and cold out here, but everything's been going well so far.
Good to hear. One of the first things we wanted to jump into with you was last week, one of the first days you are in Scottsdale, you have the opportunity to catch Madison Bumgarner. I mean, I'm sure at some point you figured that was going to happen, but to happen that fast, can you take us through that process, what it was like when he came up to you and gave you the shoulder tap?
I think we were just walking into the bullpen, and I was like putting my head down, going into my bag to get my gear on. And then I just heard a voice from like over towards the mound, and it was him. And he was like, "Hey, Joey, let's go on number one." So, I was just kind of thought to myself, like, here we are, let's go. So kind of hopped in there and got back there and had a lot of fun.
How challenging is it for you to try to balance out such great things as, you know, maybe being the catcher for Madison Bumgarner in the big leagues with also trying to go through and do what you need to do to advance through the minors? Is it hard sometimes to keep that focus and to try to improve every day?
No, not really. I know where I'm at. You know, I know, like, my role here in camp and with everything coming up. I just kind of stay where my feet are, I'd say. I'm not really looking into the future like that. I've just got into pro ball, so you know I got a ladder to climb here, but you know, in due time, whenever, if I could ever get up there and help him out and catch, that'd be awesome.
Joey, you know what, I was blessed enough to play some 16-17 years in a National Football League, and you work like heck to get there, and it's even harder to even harder to stay there. What is your thought process, even though you're saying you know your role? In the back of your mind, do you believe that you belong? What are you going to do to say, is it anything in the back of your mind? Say, I can change the outcome. I'm going to stay here. Is that something in the back of your mind that you don't even think that far ahead?
No, I mean, I'd say I'm extremely confident in myself. And
sure.
Coming to camp has been great. You know, I can see him. A year ago, I was in college. And, you know, you look at pro ball and these and big leaguers, and you think that these guys are so much better than you and so far away, but a lot of them are, some of them are, it's just fun getting out here and kind of seeing how you match up. So
Right. That's
what's been the best about coming to camp. And, you know, for the first week, seeing all the guys and kind of like the competition, what everyone looks like at different levels, what the big leagues look like. So, I take it day to day, like I said, but looking down the future, yeah, I mean, I hope to be a big impact on this team, and whenever that's time, you know, that'll all work out.
Giants catcher Joey Bart with Joe Lowendibs on 95.7 The Game. As you're assessing your own game defensively, offensively, where would you like to improve the most?
I'd like to say probably a little bit defensively. You can always get better behind the plate and in all aspects of my game, but defensively, I think it's the most important thing. as a catcher is, you know, the defensive side of things. Hitting's great and everything, but, you know, if I could get as sharp as I can back there behind the plate, that's ultimately it's going to make me play longer. So that's kind of what my focus is.
Working with Buster Posey in training camp and spring training obviously helps in that facet. Is it really handling pitchers mentally and that side of it, or is it learning to physically handle the pitches at a different level?
I think it's a little bit of both. As I move on, you know, through camp, I'll get to know the guys a little bit better. But right now, it's more just kind of seeing people. We're trying to get everyone rotated in to catch everyone. So that's been great. They've been doing a good job of that. And I'm kind of getting to see a lot of people. I've almost seen everyone, I think, at this point. But just getting that familiarity with those people, that's kind of what's really important to me right now. And then the mental side will come later once you get to know the people better. But I think at first you got to worry about keeping the ball in front of you and seeing how what the kind of spin and movement each guy has on the ball.
Joey, they say you build from the middle on out, you know, catcher, pitcher, center fielder, you know, it goes all the way out, just kind of build. That's a mark of a good team. And you're in one of those pivotal positions. How do you know, what is some of the things you know that's going to keep you sharp and keep you at that level? Are you grabbing different guys that have been in the majors for a while? Are you sitting with those guys in extra meetings? Are you pulling from each individual? And who's been most that you say, wow, I can depend on that guy. I like the way that he is. He's showing me how to be a pro.
Yeah, I think pulling everything from everyone's going to be the best. Obviously, Buster's the best, probably the best in the game. So that's a good starting point to learn from him and watch him. It's not necessarily, I think it's more visual for me to kind of just watch him and watch him work back there behind the plate. But there's been other guys that have been great. Rene Rivera, he's been awesome. I think he just signed on with us like a week ago, but I think he's been the most like approachable for me to go talk to and kind of talk over things. I think you said this is his 18th spring training. So this guy's seen, you know, everyone from a 16, 17 year old, Cameron Rupp as well, Stephen Vogt. I mean, all these guys are great. Hamlin Marte, who's a younger guy. Me and him are, you know, like the minor leaguers on the side, but he's really good as well, coming up through the Dodgers system, and I get to watch all these guys work. And I don't think I could have been put in a better situation for this spring with a bunch of veterans and, you know, guys that really know what they're doing.
Giants catcher Joey Bart with us here on 95.7 The Game. What's it been like speaking with and learning from Bruce Bochy, a former catcher himself with so much wisdom to share and so many successes on his resume? What have those interactions been like?
They've been awesome. Bochy, he's an awesome guy. He comes in and kind of stands in and watches pitchers and picks your brain about what they got. And also he's always in there at lunch, hanging out, talking to people. So I think that goes a long way for the guys, you know, having a manager that hangs around the guys and likes to get to know everyone. So working, you know, we haven't talked too much about baseball, but it's more about personal stuff and just like day-to-day things going on in spring training and what I can expect next.
What do you expect from this spring training season when you get to play on the big diamond in front of some really big crowds out there in Arizona? Do you set personal goals for these kind of sessions, or do you just try to go out there and just do what you can at-bat to at-bat and inning to inning?
That's exactly how I take it. Like I said, I just take it day to day. When I get out there, you know, it's a game of baseball. It's in the white lines. These guys will be better, but, you know, I'm going to go out there and compete as hard as I can and try to produce for these guys as well. So that's kind of my job, you know, that's why they drafted me, I feel like, is to come out here and make an impact. So whatever I can do, you know, at whatever time, that's what I'm here for. And, you know, like I said, I'm extremely blessed to be in this position. So everything's working out great.
Joey, the advice I'd give you, man, is love everyone, trust you, but always paddle your own canoe.
This is great advice there.
You're welcome, man. I just want to tell you, man, because it's hard, you know, and I think you understand that. But, man, as long as you stay focused and what you got to do, don't be swayed, look left or right. Understand you belong there, man. So I appreciate the time. And one more question before I let you go. How is the family and people around you, how excited are they about you at the next level here?
They're extremely excited. My mom and dad and brothers and friends and everyone have been keeping up with everything. It's been a blessing, you know, getting some feedback from back home and talking to some of the guys back at school. They've been keeping up with kind of everything that's going on here as well. So they're all extremely excited, and they're going to be out here in a few weeks, a lot of my friends and family, so I'll be looking forward to that. But everything's going great, and like I said, I'm blessed to be here.
How much talk has there been around the clubhouse about the free agency of Bryce Harper and Manny Machado? I mean, it's the number one topic in baseball. It's been the number one topic for months. Is that something that comes up as you guys are working out, as you guys are hanging out in the clubhouse?
I think I might be the only people to bring it up. I'm pretty excited about it, you know, just from following it, but no one's really talking about it, to be honest with you. I know that I'd like to think that we're a contender for one of those guys, but there's no rumblings going on here in the clubhouse, obviously, you know, but we just have pitchers and catchers here. So maybe some volume would get turned up, but I don't know who you know, I'm not John Heyman or Rosenthal or whatever to give you the spill on all that. But I think I can sense that one of those two guys will probably be signing here pretty soon if I had to put my two cents in.
Good stuff. He is the number two overall pick from the 2018 Major League Baseball draft. San Francisco Giants catcher Joey Bart with Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Joey, we know it's early, but thank you so much for jumping on the show with us today. Best of luck to you through the rest of spring training. We'll be keeping an eye on you, man. We can't wait to see you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Keep grinding, baby. Keep grinding.
And paddle your own canoe. That's today's takeaway.
I thought he said powder your own canoe, and I was like, wait, what?
Little Ebonics working there.
And then I thought, no, you didn't. You said paddle. Okay. I just, for some reason, the misfire was with me, not with you. And I thought about that. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, paddle. I missed it. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. I say that, Joe, because you get to that level, and believe it or not, there's a lot of guys that are pulling for you, but there's a lot of guys that don't want to see you there.
Haterade, baby.
It's just
a powerful drink.
You know, we were talking about Big Melvin earlier, and you're talking about certain things that happen in life, and we're talking about just in the league. You asked me certain questions, and I'm like, yeah, hell yeah. When you left a team, you didn't want to see the running game have the amount of success that you had when you're there. You're happy for guys. But so at the same sense, when you're on this level, there's a lot of guys, you know, that don't want to see those young guys. It's their job that's getting taken. So it's a lot of pressure there.
The beauty of this show is we're not haters. We are lovers.
Yeah.
This show is all about lovers in the truest sense of the word.
Where are you going with this?
Joey Bart. I'm trying to set up the transition. Okay. Do you want to see him up with the big club? Now, obviously, he answered Dib's question. He's just trying to go plate by plate in terms of appearances, take his time. But, you know, if Bochy's only around one more year managing this team, wouldn't you want him up there talking with Bochy every day, learning how to be a pro from the best? After all, that could be Bochy's last great gift to this club on his way out the door, getting the next catcher ready to eventually take over for Buster Posey. We will get into that plus more next. Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Low and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Heyman, MLB insider extraordinaire from the MLB Network, will join us at 8:30 today. Sam Amick will join us at 9:35. It's Joe Low and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Happy President's Day. No days off for this radio show. We are in here grinding because we know some of you are too. We want to be there for you on that commute, the hottest possible content. Now, we were very fortunate in the last segment to speak with Giants catcher Joey Bart, number two overall pick from last summer's Major League Baseball draft. Young guy out of Georgia Tech, seen to be the future of the franchise, but the question centers around, when will we see him? On one end of the spectrum, you have the fan base, which is going to want to see him right away. It's natural. It's the number two overall pick. Everyone gets excited. You parade him in front of everyone. You start talking about heir apparent to Buster Posey, the next cornerstone of the franchise. Well, all right. I hear those terms used when I hear about guys like Baker Mayfield, and I get to see them play right away. So how long is it going to take to see Joey up there when you realize that this team may struggle this season based on virtually every projection that came out of Vegas yesterday, courtesy of the Westgate Superbook? We'll get into that in a little bit. But then there's the idea of don't rush him too soon. We all saw the movie Moneyball, and Billy Beane talks about how there was a lot of pressure. There was a lot of hype. He went up there. He put too much pressure on himself, didn't necessarily develop properly, and it didn't work out for him. Dibs, we jumped into this a little bit last week when you were on vacation, so I'd love to tee it up for you timeline-wise. what's the harm in bringing Joey Bosa up sooner rather than later?
I think you want to have him be later as opposed to sooner because of the failure factor. You could have a guy come up like Christian Arroyo came up for the Giants, and he flashed for a moment, then he struggled, then he got hurt, and he's not with the team anymore. So I think you look at the Buster Posey template when you think about Joey Bart, because back in 2008, Buster was chosen in the June draft. He was a high first-round pick. He played a small smattering of games in 08, and then 2009, he started the year in San Jose. I was doing play-by-play and color commentary of those games at the time on local TV, and you saw Buster was a huge difference maker. He spent half a year there. He went up to Fresno in AAA, and by September, he got himself a call-up, and he ended up playing seven or so games with the San Francisco Giants. So for me, you're going to absolutely mirror that with Joey Bart. San Jose for half a year. If he does as well as everyone thinks he will, then it's either AA or AAA for a couple months. When the minor league season ends in the end of August, then he's a September call-up, and you bring him to the bigs then.
He's 22 years old. How old were you when you entered the National Football League?
21.
21. So yeah. you get it. You get what that age means. A lot of immaturity.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the world that's still to be explored. Yeah. But at the same time, you've been around maybe a little bit. So at 21, 22, what are the biggest pitfalls when you're that young and you're thrust into such a spotlight so quickly?
Knowing that you belong. I think the biggest challenge is, do I really belong? You look at a guy like Saquon Barkley, Joe, you see what it is, and people say, oh, it's football. You know what? Football is a lot hard. That's why the shelf life is so short. It's small. It's so infinitesimal because it's hard. It's hard to do it. But after he gets a couple runs, he understands he belongs. You look at Joey. Here's another guy that's going to be out there, and Madison says, catch for me. That's a vote of confidence right there. You heard him. He said, okay, here we go.
That's leadership, too.
Absolutely. He put his head down. He said, okay, here we go. Madison wants him. So he goes out there. He's nervous. All of a sudden, he catches a couple, and he starts feeling it. I think you look at yourself, Joe, and you'd say, do I have the tangibles? Do I have the things that everyone else has? Am I stronger than these guys? Am I faster than these guys? Do I have the same hand and eye coordination? Do I get more contact? You start measuring yourself up. When I lined up against Sam Mills and Ricky Jackson and lined up against those guys, the first time I'm like, oh, my God, I knew I had to go hard because if I didn't, they're going to take my head off. I knew those guys, that's the kind of players they were. He's out there, and when a pitcher's coming up, those pitchers don't care about him. Smart, all those pitchers are out there, they're like, dude, I want to sit you down. They're not taking it easy on him. They want to take his confidence, want to take his heart, and if he goes out there and he starts making contact, you start to say, I belong. And the better contact he makes and the more he starts feeling that rhythm, then the more he says, man, I belong here. And that's why Bochy's not talking about baseball. He's talking about life. Bochy wants to know what's above the shoulders because he knows physically this guy's a big kid. He can hit. He can do those things. So he's not worried about that. He wants to know, how is he mentally? How is he going to handle it when he gets in a slump and he's not hitting as well? What's going to happen then? What's going to happen to when he gets a couple bad calls or what things going?
How do you handle that?
That's what you want to see as a young player. So you're saying, what do I want to see or how do you measure? Those are the measurables that coaches sometimes don't know. And that's why sometimes they're hesitant to bring any guys up. But when you're big and you're strong and you watch guys at batting practice, he's brought up there for a reason. And if he goes out there and he's having success, they can say, this guy belongs. This guy, he has the tangibles. He has the power. He has the skill set. And he can be a pro. And I think that's where it's up to the skipper and up to the organization and say, do we let him stay, but we know he can stay and have success? Do we bring him up and he'll struggle? But I think this guy has it. That's what we don't know yet, and that's what the coaches, and that's why he's been brought up to spring ball, because they want to know, does he have that it factor?
The business side of the equation is easy to understand. The earlier he comes up, the earlier his clock starts ticking towards free agency. Whether you agree with how that system works or not, that's the system. For example, Vlad Guerrero Jr., everybody knows he is ready to come play Major League Baseball. The Blue Jays have already announced, we're going to kind of sit him right up until we make sure we get that extra year of free agency, and then we're going to bring him up. And people in Toronto are outraged. People who do not like the free agency system in Major League Baseball are outraged. But that's the system you have in place now, and the Blue Jays are taking advantage of it. For the Giants, if you're not going to compete this year, if you're not going to be able to sign Bryce Harper, what's the point in starting the clock early? Makes sense. Number two, You want to make sure this kid is seasoned. There's a lot more on his plate than there is for, say, a left fielder
right.
or a third baseman. You are going to be catching the pitching staff. You have to be the leader of the team, the leader of the pitching staff, the most detail-oriented, the most prepared individual on a day-in, day-out basis. There's a lot that comes with that. Learning how to be a pro, like Lowe said, learning how to face adversity, learning how to handle such a tough job. And Bochy, as a former catcher, understands the weight with which that position carries. So I don't think anyone's going to be in a huge rush to take a very thin farm system and grab the absolute most upside prospect in it and rush him up to hopefully win 75 games this year when you're in a division with the Dodgers. So the business side of this is easy to understand. But the one thing that keeps jumping out to me is the fact that this is Bochy's last year as the manager of the club. And as a former catcher, with all that wisdom he has, imagine every day, you're not playing Joey Bart, but every day he's at the major league level, and every time the Giants are in the field, Bart is sitting next to or standing next to Bruce Bochy. And Bochy is just explaining everything Buster's doing. He's explaining game scenarios. He's explaining what to do here, what to do there. And then when the inning ends and the team comes to the dugout, if Buster's not hitting that inning, you're sitting next to Buster and you're talking to him. Because as the ultimate clubhouse guy, as leader of this team, I find it hard to believe that he would have a problem mentoring this kid, much like Favre and Aaron Rodgers and all those things.
Right.
And I'm not saying you should mentor. I'm just saying I think Buster would be the type of guy who would take this kid under his wing. So imagine that. Imagine the knowledge and the wisdom you could gain from spending a year on the road with this team. Every few days, sure, maybe you get a couple cuts here and there. Fine, face the pitching, but no pressure. Maybe you play a little first base. Maybe you get a few innings in a 10-0 blowout one day, whether you're up or down. And from there, the year under Bochy, the year under Posey, I think that wisdom could pay dividends, because if you come up in 2 years and Buster's already made the transition, you're not going to get to watch him on a day-to-day basis.
Right, and I don't think that Buster will make the transition until he comes up and he's ready. The Giants have made no indication that they're even starting this transition where Buster Posey's not going to catch anymore. He plays more first base and he gets more off days, and especially now with the hip situation, him still recovering, you're probably going to see more of that. But for Joey Bart, as much as he would benefit from that sort of mentorship, there's no experience quite like doing it. So to be able to do it every single day in single A, to be the catcher of the staff and to be out there and to have an opportunity to learn from the minor league staff and learn while playing, I think that has too great a value to just take a year and say, well, you're not going to hit. Because then what happens after the year when you want him to be the starter and he spent a whole year not playing, not honing his craft? Maybe then he falls short because he hasn't been doing it.
Same debate we're always having in the NFL. You can make the case, hey, Baker Mayfield, trial by fire, get him in there, let's see what happens. And then on the flip side, Patrick Mahomes sat for a year. And look at how seasoned he was come year two.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's necessarily a right answer. There's great points on the pro and con side of the ledger for each part of the debate. And it's fun to have between now and the start of the season because, you know, we only have so many talking points until Bryce signs.
Yeah, it's interesting, Joe, that we go through this perspective and we talk about, hell, well, here's, if you do this, here's a negative. Let him go down, AAA, AA, single A, whatever it may be. Let him go out there and take his cuts and get the things he needs, you know, or bring him up and let him get trained by Posey. And then they say, well, he's not getting enough at-bats, and that's going to hurt him. So you're right. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
And it's interesting, Lo, because the time-honored tradition in baseball is you send him to the minors and you let him play your way up. You know, it's a proving ground, single A, AA, AAA, like you said. We haven't seen many situations. I'm hard-pressed to think of anywhere a baseball team has done what you're saying, Joe, which is like the football model of come sit here and learn and basically, quote, hold the clipboard for a year. It would be interesting to see if a team did that and it actually worked, if it wouldn't change the way we treat the minor league system.
Well, I think that also you could help real quick. I think it could really help the way that baseball's viewed because it can change the structure. And I think this would be one of those reasons why you start bringing guys up sooner, because now you can sign them longer and you're not stuck with these $300-400 million deals when tail end of these guys' career.
Does it make sense to bring Joey Bart up sooner rather than later? Hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. It is great to have you with us on this President's Day. We are here for you. No days off. except for, you know, the ones I took a couple weeks ago, the ones Dibs took last week, yeah. The ones that are coming up in the near future. Outside of all that, no days off. We work President's Day. We love President's Day. And
fake
therefore,
news.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
Let's not make it political. Okay, just come in and we're just working a Monday. Okay. Hey, we're just working a Monday. We are here for you. The phone lines are going to be open all day. 888-957-9570. We begin the 7 o'clock hour with what took place yesterday in Charlotte. Team LeBron 178, Team Giannis 164. In the 2019 NBA All-Star Game, Team LeBron overcame a 20-point deficit. After surrendering 95 points in the first half, the defense locked down Team Giannis to the tune of just 69 points in the second half en route to a 14-point victory. 35 made three-pointers for Team LeBron. That is an All-Star Game record. And Kevin Durant, your very own Kevin Durant, was named All-Star Game MVP. He now has 2 All-Star Game MVPs on his ledger yesterday and 2012, 2 NBA Finals MVPs on his ledger, and 1 regular season MVP. The only other players to record that, Shaq, Kobe, Jordan, LeBron, and Magic. So pretty good company there as he dropped 31 points on 10 of 15 shooting, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. Overall, fun game, was it not?
Super fun game. I thought the way that they structure it with the first quarter, even the first half, kind of loose, not much defense, and then the teams find their way to get some focus in the second half. And you can tell that LeBron took it seriously after the fact that they were getting motorboated by Team Giannis in the first half, and they came out with a renewed effort. Steph Curry had a couple of highlights, and ultimately you won't remember his 6-for-23 performance from the floor. I thought it was a fun game, and it was just competitive enough to hold the audience.
Was this the highlight of the game?
Here's Curry with a high bounce pass.
Curry with the bounce pass alley-oop to Giannis Antetokounmpo, who was just unbelievably exciting in that game. You saw that highlight. I mean, there was good reason why the entire arena was on its feet after that.
No question, man. Giannis, man, put a cape on him. He's Superman. The way that guy flies, the way that he can get up. I mean, only he could probably go and get that. There's not a lot of guys in the association that can go up and grab an...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.